from Intentional Living. How you doing today? We're talking decisions. I was thinking coming into the studio today about the kinds of decisions you all are making in life and we're making in life. You know, we're in this election season coming up and you're making decisions for that and so on. But, you know, there's different kinds of decisions, different importance of decisions, I suppose. And the impact of the decisions that we make in our life really do make a difference. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. We've got some great calls, and we want you to join in as well in just a moment. I'm Dr. Randy, along with our team here at the Intentional Living Center. We welcome you to the show. And by the way, our phone line is open to you. Steven's taking your calls at 888-888-1717. Hey, I want to just very briefly talk about the different kinds of decisions that we get to make in life, and then we're going to open up the phone lines and talk about where you are, a decision you're trying to make, or how you make decisions in your life. Or if you're stuck, I'd like to help you get unstuck today. You know, the first kind of decisions that we tend to make are what I call the preference kind of decisions. You know, you're going to buy a car. Do you want a red car or a gray car? You know, you're going to put new carpet in the house. Do you want brown carpet or dark brown carpet? Or what vacation are you going to go on? And let's be honest. Most of us tend to get more hung up and spend more time on the preference decisions than maybe some of the more important ones. Spend a lot of time. And I think that the way we approach the preference decisions in our life, the entertainment we put into our life, or, you know, what we eat or what we do, the preference kinds of things often reveal to us our priorities, you know, what's most important to us in life. But there's another kind, a more serious kind of decision I call the perplexing kind of decisions that we're making. And I get a lot of those. And we get them here in the center all the time, everywhere I travel. People want to know, you know, I'm trying to relocate or want, should I get buy a bigger house or should I do this or that? And it's not just a preference, but it's perplexing because, you know, the impact is really a bigger deal. In fact, Heather was an example that left a perplexing question for me. I want you to take a listen.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Heather. And I feel like I'm at a crossroads in my life where I do have a lot of decisions that I need to make regarding my career and whether or not we should relocate our family. And any kind of advice that you could speak about that would be greatly appreciated. And thank you very much. God bless, and I love your show.
All right. Thank you, Heather. She's an example of what I call the perplexing kind of questions or decisions we make in life. We have to make, should I relocate? Should we get a bigger house? Whatever. And we know scripturally that we should be praying for everything, every decision we're making, we should be praying about. But the good news of a perplexing kind of decision is often they're not permanent. Now, they impact your life. If you move across the country and you realize later that that really wasn't the best decision, well, you can always pack up and move somewhere else or move back. So it's not permanent, but it is perplexing and it is profound in terms of the impact in your life. And for those of you who are making those kind of decisions, I think it's important to get good counsel, have a lot of wisdom, sample your decision before you make your decision, the outcome of that decision, go and visit and find out what that means or experience it, talk to people who've done it, pray about it. And when you've got 80% of the answers to the questions, you got to make a decision and then you got to act. And I think so often we make a decision and we look back and have these, you know, decision regrets. And if you made a decision, you've done it in some wisdom and prayer and good counsel, go after it with a lot of passion and allow God to do his work. Who knows? It may be the best decision you've ever made in your life. But the third kind of decision, this is the biggie. This is the one where I get the calls that kind of hang me up on the line, knowing I have 2 or 3 minutes to try to answer what I call a permanent decision. A decision that's going to be made that has permanent impact in someone's life. And in fact, Peggy, who called and left the question for me on a permanent decision, is an example of this. Take a listen.
Hello, Dr. Randy. This is Peggy. I live in Kansas. My question is, our daughter has been living with us for about 11 months. She's 32 years old. She has 2 young sons. And 2, her husband divorced her in November for repeated affairs on her part. She's making very poor decisions, and it is scary to have her evicted from our home, and it's scary to live with us. trying to make that decision is leading us to quite a quandary and lots of prayer. So how do we make that decision? And how do we risk those boys by kicking her out of our home? Yet, how do we get her out of our home? Our life is just not our life right now, and we need it back.
Mm. Thank you, Peggy. You know, to give a quick, glib answer to one of these permanent kind of decisions, I think it would be irresponsible. And it's important for any of you who have a permanent, you're trying to make a decision, should I divorce my spouse? I mean, you're trying to make a decision just like Peggy's making. You know, do I throw my son or daughter out the door, especially if there's children, especially if there's children involved? These are big questions, and it requires a lot of prayer, a lot of counsel, a lot of wisdom, and frankly, you have to have a backbone to, when you get to the point of making a decision, to stand up and follow through. And I think what happens with these permanent kind of decisions in our life is they create within us as a person, kind of percolating to the surface, our own problems, our own issues, our own insecurities. But I will tell you this, when it gets to these permanent decisions, it's really critical that you get good counsel, you get into God's word, you get outside of your own head and your own heart and get the kind of input that'll help you make a decision like Peggy needs to make. Do we send our daughter out the door and she's got two precious kids? And she should be talking to some of you who've done that. And she should be talking to get good counsel and much prayer and wisdom and understanding. There, when we get to these permanent kind of decisions, sometimes there is no perfect decision. Because there's been decisions before the decision. Maybe you made a decision and you realize now I married, quote, the wrong person. Or maybe you realize I made a decision about finances and now I'm in this big hole and I'm trying to make a decision, should I go bankrupt or not? You know, these are big decisions that you're trying to make in your life. So I tell you what, let's open the phone line and then we'll take a break. I'd love to have you join in, not so much on the questions we've heard so far, that's fine if you'd like to, but how do you make decisions? What's a decision you've made? You realized, hey, we thought that through and we want to help others. No, this is how we've made decisions. Or maybe you just have a question for me. If you have a preference, or perplexing, or is it permanent? And there's a difference. Phone lines open, 888-888-1717. Intentional Living friends, let's do this. 888-888-1717. Number one on the list of how to be intentional in your life is to make decisions. It's number one in the process of intentional living. How do you do it? Where are you? What are you struggling with? Give us a call. 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Something that everyone will experience in life is pain. In Dr. Randy's message, The Purpose of Pain, you'll learn even though pain is a problem, when you understand its purpose in your life, you can actually gain freedom.
Pain is a troubling problem for humanity, and yet, without pain, we'd have no grasp of the contrast with health, or peace, or success, or meaning. For it's in the pain that we're able to see how dependent we are on God and what His blessings are all about in our life.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group with unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now and receive these life-changing resources. Call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know what? This is the last day of the month here. We're at the end of October and kind of a last call on this opportunity as the featured lesson for this month is on the purpose of pain, how we learn through pain, what God can teach us. It's up on our website along with many other teachings for our members. And when you join in financial support today, you'll be a part of Intentional Living. How do you do that? You can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or anytime, go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Just before we get to the calls here, if you're struggling with a preference question, make the decision and act. Clear your mind and heart after you decide on the color of the carpet or the color of the car or the vacation you're going to take. And you and I, if we're going to live intentional, we got to get serious about these perplexing and permanent decisions. And by the way, that's a question you should ask. If you're thinking about getting married, that should be a permanent decision, right? If you're deciding on buying a bigger house, that's perplexing, but it may not be permanent. And there's a difference. Difference of impact, difference of result in the long run. And I think, being honest, sometimes we spend more time, you know, focusing on setting up a vacation than we do on making a decision who we're going to marry or what's going on that has a permanent impact spiritually and otherwise in our life. And that's why this is really a big deal. All right, let's go to the phones. Justin's on the line in Arizona. Hi, Justin. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you very much for taking the call. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. It looks like you're trying to make a decision. What is it?
Yeah, so I'm the owner of a well-known performance training center for professional athletes, young, and I'm just trying to navigate the potential sale of the company with an older trailblazer, we'll say, someone who's looking to come into the company. I'm just kind of looking for some identifying factors in what would be a very permanent decision to kind of see if God's calling me to do something that might feel sacrificial in some ways, that might seem normal. Identify, like, what would God be calling me to do? What are the fruit of what would be considered the right decision, whether to sell or not to sell?
All right, so it's a sale. It's not a partnership. You're looking to have someone come in, and then they would take over the business, and you'd step out. And I'm assuming, based on your concern, you're going to be carrying some note. In other words, if they fail, you fail?
Yes. And to clarify, they would be coming in to purchase a portion of equity to operate as partners. That'd be a better way to put it.
All right. Well, listen, we got people listening who would scream at you saying, don't be in partnership, period. And there's others that say it's worked beautifully. But I can tell you, partnerships can be perplexing. They can be difficult. If it were me, I'd move with great care, great caution. I'd want to know what the history has been with this person. What level of commitment are they making? Do you guys share the same, or you guys share the same values and beliefs and goals for the business? What is their motive for coming in? I'm just asking the questions quickly that I would sit down and ask you in person if at an opportunity. How are you going to share the responsibility? What are you going to do if one of you wants to get out of the business? You can have some agreement for one of you to get out and the other one purchase and so on. So legal issues and financial issues. Mm-hmm. What are you married?
I am married. Married, and we just welcomed our first child. She's 8 weeks old.
If your wife is supportive, sometimes I have found my wife is more discerning and aware and picks up vibes that I can miss. Is she with you on this? What's the impact going to be on your business and on your employees and so on? Those would be the kind of questions I would ask. And why are you doing this? Why is it you need the money, or are you looking for what? Help in the business or what?
Yeah, not a money thing, more so a further trajectory. He obviously brings a financial side and an experience side to the growing of businesses like this, and I bring the expertise in the actual field. Would you say there's any sort of passage or thing to really look at? Because on paper, I feel like it's going to make it'll come down to, like you said, you get 80% of the answer, and you just have to commit one way or the other passionately. Is there any guiding scripture or anything that you'd be meditating on over this time, mm-hmm. just to kind of keep my mind in the right space?
Well, a big picture scripture would be the passage that we often refer to, and it appears to be only in marriage, but it's not. It's for any sort of partnership relationship where it says, don't be unequally yoked with a non-believer, because what does light and dark have in common? And that doesn't mean one is better. And like that person's a bad person and you're a good person. We're all sinners saved by grace. But the reality is when you yoke in business with someone, hey, listen, Justin, you're stuck. That's not only a perplexing, that can be more of a permanent kind of a decision. And if you have any, and this is my perspective, any red flags, yellow flags, I'd move slowly. I'd get counsel. If it were me, I'd go talk to an attorney who does these kind of business arrangements, because you know what? They've been down that trail and they can tell you the pros and cons. I hope that helps. All right. Thank you. Let me go to Tim in Michigan. Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Randy, I didn't call to talk about me, but I just want to touch base saying that I saw you and Dr. Kevin Lehman back some 35, maybe 40 years ago. I'm sure 35 years ago at the Assembly in Midland. You guys did a two-day program. Yes, and shortly after that, my wife deserted me and my five kids. And anyways, long story, I ended up getting remarried, had married a woman with two more kids, and so I have seven, and I have 15 grandkids. And I have to tell you about your decision-making. Now, we studied the books. We read the books. We Kevin Lehman, How to Live in a Step Family Without Losing Your Mind, or I still got him on the bookshelf. But I wanted to tell you about decision-making, and I'd like to tell you that my responsibility for my decision-making, as long as I stay in God's Word and try and do it that way, no matter how it turns out, I've done the very best I can.
Yeah. You know, we refer to that, by the way, Tim, you know, you're taking me way back 35 years. Of course, I was only 10 years old at the time, right? But, you know, the reality, Tim, what you're reminding us of is one of the principles that we teach here about impacting other people and decision-making. I call it the 3-foot rule. And in my mind, I picture a little rug that you stand on, you know, those little rugs that are about 3 foot in diameter. And that's about all the control I have. I don't have control over other people. I don't have control over what they do. I don't have control over their words that they use. I'm only responsible for what I do, how I respond, and so on. And so decision-making comes really back to me and not another person, doesn't it?
Yes. And I have to tell you that the decision, you know, we did spend a lot of time trying to do the right thing and make the right decision. And there were a lot of times it didn't work out the way that I wanted it to, and extremely now. I'm 70 years old now, so I do have my struggles that we're dealing with my youngest daughter and things like that. But in the bottom line is that I'm not going to stop. I can't. The responsibility for this decision-making, as long as you're in God's Word, you can't go home.
That's right. And you can't be responsible necessarily for how it's going to be received or all the consequences associated with it. And that's what's so tricky. It'd be nice to control, but we can't. All right. Judy in Michigan as well. Hi, Judy. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Randy.
How you doing today?
I'm pretty good. I've just been overwhelmed with some pretty, impacting news for my family. My son Devon and Charlotte, and they are Christian family. So are my grandkids, and they brought me closer to God and learning how to follow.
Mm-hmm. How can I help you today? What's going on?
Well, they've had some disturbing news with their financial difficulties. So they basically are nationalists now, and since they've done that, they're not able to seek any assistance when they're facing hardship. So they believe in living on their own and providing for themselves. And since then, my son was with the IBW, and apparently they couldn't understand the paperwork when he turned into a nationalist. So now they let him go. So now they've got a lot of financial hardship with that. And I don't, there is a case in court. It's been over a year now that it's been in court, and you're still waiting. Is there any advice as far as, I told them they may want to file bankruptcy because, they're going to lose their home. They're going to lose everything.
Yeah.
They can't afford, everything they have.
I'm going to put you on hold, Judy. I'm really having difficulty with your phone and understanding the question. Beyond, it sounds like your sons are having some financial problems, if I'm hearing it correctly, and you want to give them some advice because it's their problem. That's another thing. Again, the 3-foot rule, they've got to make the decision. Are they asking for your input? I think sometimes what we want to do is offer input when it's not welcomed And if we offer without it being welcomed, we can create a breach in a relationship. And so the most I would suggest for you, Judy, would be to say to your sons, hey, guys, I love you guys. Are you interested in some input on this? And if they say no, respect it. If they are, if it were me, I would say to them, go find somebody who's an expert in this area, financial expert, legal expert. What does bankruptcy mean? What does that look like? I think sometimes we try to do surgery on ourselves instead of finding someone who's an expert in doing surgery. And that can be in all areas of life. And that's really important. All right. Sorry about the phone line. It was just hard for me to follow, Judy. We got to take a break and we'll be right back. Number six in this list of intentionals is take responsibility. It's the first law of intentional living, personal responsibility. Asking and answering the question, how have I contributed to the pain in my life, is an important act. The act of taking personal responsibility is what separates winners from losers in life. Losers blame situations and people and the world and the government and what have you. Winners accept reality as it is, and then they do something about it. One of the most effective ways of growing beyond pain is to take responsibility for any part, even if it's only a tiny part of the problem. See, until you own it, you can't grow beyond it. Yeah, that's true. Listen, last call, end of the month for the featured lesson this month on the purpose of pain. Check it out at theintentionallife.com. Or during West Coast business hours, call 888-888-1717 today. Sue is in Arizona. Hi, Sue. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Appreciate your call. You got a question for me? What's going on?
Well, I was listening to the woman who had to decide whether to kick her daughter out with the two young kids.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And that was a tough one. Well, I was dealing with kind of the same situation where my adult daughter was married and has four kids. And her husband of 15 years has just been like the model husband. And so she had an affair and kicked him out, or he moved out. I don't know what the deal was, but she assumed that we were going to, quote, take her side. But we love this guy that she married, and we vowed to love whoever she married. And so after a lot of very angry words, you know, she basically put it down to it's me or him. And, you know, we didn't take that lightly, but we basically... Oh, she wasn't letting us see the kids, the four kids.
Let me see if I understand. Just a second, Sue. Let me see if I understand. Your daughter had an affair. She's involved with someone else, and she threw her husband out. Is that basically what you said?
Yep.
And now she threw him out, divorced him, and you still have a relationship with him. He's the father of your grandchildren, and your daughter is saying, if you still have a relationship with him, you can't see the kids or me?
Well, you can't see me, and that kind of involves the kids, because she never wanted to bring them over or let us spend time with them. So we love this guy. We've loved him since she married him, and the kids love their dad. Two of the kids are living with him full time, and two of them can't make that decision yet because they're underage. But it's been a hard decision, and everybody has an opinion about what we should or should not.
Yeah.
And that makes it even harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you want another opinion? Is that what you're looking for?
Kinda, yeah. I'm looking to find out an objective opinion, because overall, she's been really mean to me and her father.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me give you my two cents on this. You know, we are to, according to Scripture, we're to hold respect or regard for everyone. And so the fact that you like this guy, he's the father of your grandkids, and you have a good relationship with him, and that's between you and him, period. And I would maintain that. If you got some of the grandkids living with him, that should give you access right there. Usually it's the other way around, but here's the ex-husband who's maybe you have the better relationship with to have contact with your grandkids. Secondly, I've said this over the years, sometimes you have to, well, we want to have a good relationship, live in unity as much as possible, as the Bible says, with that difficult, painful, frustrating daughter of yours. Pray like crazy for her that God will do something in her life, but try to maintain as good a relationship with her as you can, if for no other reason than you can have contact with your grandkids. I tell people sometimes you have to bend over backward a little bit to get what's even more important. In this case, it's not the relationship with your daughter, frankly, but jumping the generation to have a relationship with your grandkids. And so I would try to maintain as good of a relationship, as positive a relationship as you can. I wouldn't be dishonest or lie or play games, but you can't allow your daughter to manipulate your life and control your life, because she is going to pay big time when those kids grow up and find out they were kept away from grandma and grandpa because mom was a difficult pain in the neck for them. Because that's what's going to happen. Eventually, kids grow up and get smart enough to say, hey, mom's got an issue. Be who you are, be honest, be transparent, but follow the scripture that says, to the extent possible, live at unity and peace with everyone, okay? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We have more calls, got more comments that have been left. This is a big thing. It's number one on the list of living intentionally, and that's making a decision, choosing to, number one, figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. Our goal is to help you experience your life the way God intended. And I can tell you right now, these kinds of permanent questions and decisions that are being made can be very difficult. So we're going to continue to take your calls. We're going to stay right here in the studio, and we're going to record the show that's going to air tomorrow. So you're welcome to call and join us. Phone line is now reopened at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And we'll get to you all here in just a couple minutes off air for tomorrow's program. Which kind of a problem or decision are you trying to make? Is it more perplexing or is it permanent? And what are the consequences? If I can help you think about that, give me a call. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, and it is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.